rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألف لام ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون. وقال الله تعالى في حديث قدسي: أنفق يا ابن آدم، أنفق عليك. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. ربي يسر ولا تعسر وتمم بالخير وبك نستعين يا فتاح يا فتاح يا فتاح. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in His glorious Qur'an that this Qur'an is a guidance for those who have taqwa, for those that are muttaqeen. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives three qualities of the muttaqeen: that they believe in the unseen, يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. We have never seen Allah, we have never seen His angels, we have never seen all the divine books, we have never seen the life after death, but we believe in each and every single one of them. And the second quality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings of the muttaqeen is that they establish their salah. We know that the only difference between a believer and a disbeliever is salah. And the third quality that we would like to focus on today is that the person who has taqwa, the muttaqeen, they will spend from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed them with. This is extremely important to understand, that whatever rizq is given to me and you, it was not through the hard earning of our own hands. It was not through our toil and the tough labor that we did, that we woke up and we went and earned and we got whatever was deserving to us. This is not the correct mentality that a muttaqeen should have. He should know that whatever was bestowed upon him was through the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever is in your pocket today was because Allah put it there. My beloved brothers, me and you, we have to do the juhud, we have to do the mehnat, we have to do the work. But whatever is given from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every single thing that we will earn has been predestined. It is predetermined. It is written. How much money we are going to earn, it is predestined. It is up to me and you. It is up to us both to choose whether we are going to earn it in a halal way or are we going to earn it in a haram way. Because the amount is already fixed. How much we are going to earn is fixed. How much we are going to eat in this world, we are not going to eat one morsel more, we are not going to eat one morsel less. It is fixed. How many times our heart is going to beat, it is fixed. It will not beat one beat more, and it will not beat one beat less. We will not earn a single penny more than we were supposed to. And we will not earn a single penny less than we were supposed to. So whatever we have, alhamdulillah, it is through the fadl and the mercy and the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages us. Don't hold on to it. Don't hoard it. Fulfill the needs of your family, of course. But then spend it in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Give it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says, Anfiq yabna Adam, O son of Adam, spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Spend. Allah is encouraging me and you to spend for good causes. And then what will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do? He will spend on us. My beloved brothers, take the example of two parents. You know, one parent, he's struggling to make ends meet. And he says to his son, my beloved son, be good today. And I will get you whatever you want at the end of the day. And the son knows, my dad, you know, he struggles a lot. So maybe he will get me a lollipop. He will get me a sweetie. So that's what he's going to expect. Because his father is struggling to make ends meet. But if I have a wealthy father, he says to his son, son, be good today. I will get you whatever you want. And then the son will say, right, okay, now's my chance. I will be good today. And I will get whatever I want from my father. Because he can afford it. Whatever it is. My beloved brothers, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us He is going to spend on us, whose treasury knows no limits, has no boundaries, when He says that He will spend on us, imagine what we will be blessed with. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's treasury knows no limits. So if Allah is saying, spend and I will spend on you, imagine what we will be gifted with. My beloved brothers, this type of mentality where we should be charitable should be instilled within us and within our children. Give charity in front of them. Give the money in their hand and say, we're going to the masjid today. You're going to see a box there. You're going to put it in. Instill that inside them. Instill it inside them. How blessed is that? Dasturkhan, when you're all sitting together as a family and you're all discussing, mashallah, tomorrow we're going to go and donate to a good cause. Rather than saying, oh, we're never going to donate to that place because we don't know what they do. You're instilling negative mentality in your family. Instill positive mentality. Say that we're going to donate for all good causes. My beloved brothers, there's so many examples of individuals raising immense funds for good causes. You know, we think, mashallah, this community came together and established this masjid. Fantastic. Hundreds and thousands of people donated. Mashallah. Allah accept it from all of them. But you know, there are certain individuals, single people, who have raised far more than me and you could ever imagine. Take the example of people in today's day and age. One of my close friends, his name is Faisaluddin. He lives in Burnley. He was known as Al-Katib because he was a good calligrapher. He is still a calligrapher. He does Arabic calligraphy. That's his business. He writes Arabic calligraphy on canvases and he sells it. So what happened? He studied with me in Darul Uloom. So his father passed away a few years ago. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him Jannatul Firdaus. When he passed away, he got this good intention that, you know what, I want to do some sadaqah jariyah for my father. So he set up a just giving page. And he needed to raise a couple of £1,000. And what he did, he was obviously on social media. Because that's how he would advertise his canvases. So he needed to raise a few £1,000, and he thought, you know what, after a few months, once I've raised it, then inshallah I will make this masjid in the name of my father, so whoever prays there, my father will get the reward for that. Within a few hours, not even a few hours, within less than a few hours, his target was met. And he raised multiple £1,000. But then the donations didn't stop. People would still keep donating, and they would say, you know, if I give you another £5,000, can you also make a masjid for my father? He passed away as well. Make a masjid for my mother as well. And his just giving pages kept growing and growing and growing. It went to 10,000, it went to 20,000, it went to 50, it went to 100,000. And then local charities started getting in touch with him. Global Relief Trust, GRT, they got in touch with him and they said, how would you like for people, because they're donating to you, you seem like a trustworthy, reliable person, they're trusting you with their funds. What if you were to become a representative for us? What we do is we go on the ground to these places, Turkey, Syria, Lebanon, Kashmir, Pakistan. We go to all these places where people are suffering. We take the aid and we distribute it with our own hands. So he says, Alhamdulillah. He started off one person raising money for his father, and then he became a representative for a big charity. Just a few months ago, his charity reached £1 million. My beloved brothers, he's younger than me and you. He's like around about 30 years old. One person. He managed to, Allah raised through him £1 million. And the local newspaper is covering his story. And people are keep on donating. And this Ramadan alone, people have donated £80,000 towards his cause. My beloved brothers, this is one person. Take another example. Allah can use whoever he wants and take work from them. It doesn't need to be a whole community. It can be one person. Just have sincerity. Take another example. These are, again, my classmates, because I can share these stories because they are personal to me. My classmates, Maulana I'jaz, Maulana Iqbal, from Oldham, they have established an organization called Imam Yusuf Academy in the name of our beloved teacher, Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Mutala Sahab, Rahmatullahi Alayh. So they established this building. They are less than 30 years old, both of them. Between them, they have purchased a building worth £1.5 million. My beloved brothers, these are 30-year-olds. What is this building going to do? It's going to be a secondary school. It's going to be a primary school. It's going to be a nursery. It's going to be a Darul Uloom. It's going to be a boarding school. It's going to teach the Islamic deen. It's going to do Hifdul Quran. It's going to provide these services to the community. When Allah wants to take work, it is the people who fund it, my beloved brothers. These two people, they didn't have a single penny in their pocket. But Allah, through them, raised it. Why? And how? Because, number one, why? Because they were sincere. And number two, because the people donated to their cause. My beloved brothers, it is a sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when good causes are about to be established, that the community come together and they help. When the Kaaba wanted to be rebuilt, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam called upon the community to gather all the halal money. And it was the halal money of the community that funded the project of the Kaaba. They wanted to build it larger. They wanted the structure to be larger, but they didn't have enough funds. So they sufficed and they built a border wall, which is beneficial for me and you, the Hatim, which marks that the original structure was here. But now me and you, we can get the reward of praying inside the Kaaba if we go and pray there. My beloved brothers, it was the community that funded this. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the time of jihad came, the Muslims didn't have money. He called upon the people and he says, go to your homes and whatever is in your home, bring it. The Muslim ummah is in need today. Go to your homes and bring whatever it is you have. So my beloved brothers, there was a good culture between the Ashabi Ikram, radiallahu anhum ajma'in. Musabaqa bil khair. They would compete with each other in doing good. They would always compete. How much have you donated? I'm going to do more. How much Quran have you read? I'm going to read more. How much tahajjud have you read? I'm going to do more. All like in good things, they would compete with one another. Culture is lost. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, he goes home. And between him and Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, there was always this good competition going on. That who can outdo one another? Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, he goes home. And he says, today I'm going to beat Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. I'm going to outdo him today. Today is my chance. I'm going to beat him. I'm going to get more reward than him. So he goes home and he brings half of whatever he has and he presents it to the Prophet. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to him, "Oh Umar, what did you bring?" So he says, "I brought whatever was in my house, I brought half of it." And he's so happy, he's so elated, he's so happy, like, Hazrat Abu Bakr, surely not, he's not going to outdo me this time. So Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he comes in the presence of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he asks him, look at the difference of the question. He asks Hazrat Umar, what did you bring? And he asks Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, what did you leave behind? Because he knew their mentality, he knew their mizaj. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whatever was in my home, absolutely everything, I have brought it. And I have left Allah and His Rasul for my family. My beloved brothers, where is this type of culture between me and you? Where is it? It is lost. Competing with each other in good. Donating for good causes. Being charitable. My beloved brothers, whichever organization you go to, let's say you go to different masajids around Glasgow, wherever you go, make sure you do two things. One is perform two rak'at in that masjid. Make sure. Why? Because on the day of Qiyamah, that two rak'at and that place that you did sajda will give witness that, Ya Allah, he did sajda here. It will bear witness for you on the day of Qiyamah. And the other thing, whatever you have in your pocket, put it in their charity box. Now you have opened your bank account in that masjid. Whatever a'mal happened in that masjid, you don't know it. You don't know it. But whatever a'mal is happening in that masjid, you are getting an equal share of it. Whatever sujoods happen in that masjid, whatever Quran is recited there, whatever salah is performed there, you are getting an equal share in that. Open your different bank accounts. My beloved brothers, a sign of true ikhlas is when you are happy when these organizations open up. You know, when a different masjid opens up 5 doors down the street, you should be happy. Alhamdulillah, it's another place for people to go and perform their obligations, to go and perform their salah, to go and get educated. Now, on one occasion, I went to a masjid and I went to see their education department. And the brother says, I asked him, brother, how many students do you have? So he told me, we only have about 30. But we used to have 60. But you know what happened? 5 doors down the road, just down the road, another masjid opened and they took all of our students. And he was really angry, he was really upset that they're not paying fees to us, now they're paying fees to them. So they're taking all of our money. And I just thought in my heart, nah, brother, this is not the right mentality to have. This is not the right mentality to have. Have the mentality, whoever opens up a good organization, be happy for them. Allah accept all the amal that is going to happen in that masjid. That is a sign of your true ikhlas. My beloved brothers, you know, me and you, we might not have a lot, but we can give whatever it is. You know, and the power of sadaqah, the power of charity is amazing. There was one brother, lived in Egypt, and the doctors told him, brother, your arteries have become clogged now. We've done everything for you. We've put stents in, we've done this, we've done your bypass, we've done everything that we can. But now your arteries are clogging up. You don't have long left. So there is a hospital in Germany. Go there. Maybe they might be able to give you one last option. Maybe they might be able to do something for you. So he travels to Germany and he goes to visit this hospital. And the doctor says to him, it is very, very far progressed. You don't have long left. But we can operate on you. But there's a 50-50 chance that you might survive. 50-50. So he says, if that is the case, allow me to go back to my homeland in Misr, in Egypt, and say farewell to my family. Because if it goes in the opposite direction and I don't survive, then at least I've said farewell to my family. So he makes the trip. He gets a 2-day allowance and he says, you need to be back in 2 days. So he goes back. And just before he's about to visit his family, he passes the local butcher shop, which is very close to his house, and he sees a woman on the ground scraping the little strips of meat. You know, the leftovers that the butcher throws away. And she's gathering it all. And he says to the woman, "What are you doing?" And she says, "I'm gathering these little scraps of meat so that I can take it home and cook it for my family because we don't have food." So the man says to him, "Come with me." So he takes him inside the butcher. He takes the woman inside the butcher shop, and he says to the butcher, "You know this woman? She's going to come to your shop every week for the next year, and you're going to give her meat. And I'm going to pay for her meat in advance. I'm going to pay for it. I'm going to give you 1 year's money in advance. Take it. And every week she'll come to you, give her the meat, so she can cook for her family." And then the du'as that started coming out from this woman's mouth, "May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you good health. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfill all your needs. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfill all of your deepest wishes." And the dua comes straight from her heart. And he goes home, he meets with the family, and they say, "I'm going to go and I'm going to have this operation. I don't know if it's going to go well." So he travels all the way back to Germany. He's getting ready for his operation. And the doctors are doing the final checks before operating on him. And then the doctor says to him, "Now you be honest with me. In them 2 days, which doctor did you go to see? Which doctor did you go to see? What medication did you take? Because there is no sign of any problem in your body. What has happened? You have to be honest with me." And he says, "I didn't go anywhere." And then he thinks hard and he says, "I know what it is. It was the du'as of that woman. When I donated and I gave that charity for her, the du'as that came out from her, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has removed this health problem from me." My beloved brothers, this is a reality. This is the power of our charity. This is the power of our charity. I'll tell you another story. In Dundee, where I'm from, there was a Muslim brother. Unfortunately, he owned a nightclub. And everybody used to go there. And it was right next to the masjid. It was like a 2 minute walk from the masjid. It's called Liquid. Muslims used to go there and non-Muslims used to go there. And eventually this young man, he's making a lot of money. He's driving flash cars, he's living in a huge house, he's going on holiday every 3 weeks. He's living the life. What happens is he gets really bad cancer. And the doctors tell him, "You've not got long left to live." And then the switch just flipped. And he says, "What have I been doing? What have I been doing?" So he says, "You know what? I'm going to sell this nightclub." So he sells it. He sells it. All the money that he got, donated it. He didn't even expect any reward from it. He gets rid of it. And then his family, his parents decide, "Son, you know what? We will send you for Umrah. We'll pay for it. Because we don't know how your money is. We'll pay for it. It's halal. We'll send you for Umrah. Go to Umrah." So he goes to Umrah. And then he comes back and then he goes to the doctors. And the doctors say to him, "Tell us, which doctor did you go to? Tell us which medication you took. Because the sign of your cancer has disappeared." My beloved brothers, that same brother has become a normal attendee of the masjid. His cancer disappeared. He is the one who stands in the masjid and encourages people to do good. He is the type of person who will bring the youth in and keep them in the masjid and encourage them to do good. My beloved brothers, never look down upon anybody. Allah can change anybody at any given time. These are personal stories, my beloved brothers. We never know how far our sadaqah will go. And I'll end with this, inshallah. There was a father. He was quite wealthy. He had a son. And his son was living in Malaysia for work. And the son receives a call that your father has passed away. Your father has passed away. So he quickly gets the next flight and he comes back to the UK. And in his father's janazah, he sees thousands of people. And he's bewildered. He's like, "My father didn't even know that many people. How is there so many people in his janazah?" So after performing the janazah and his father gets buried, he goes to speak to one or two people and he says, "Tell me, how do you know my father? How do you know him?" And he says, "You know, one day I was in the masjid and I was making dua and your father seen me crying, and then after my dua, he approaches me and he says, 'Son, why are you crying? What are you making dua for?' And he says, 'Uncle, you know, I'm trying to get married. I'm trying to get married, but I don't have enough money for nikah. I don't have enough money for mahar. I don't have enough money for the walima. I don't have a good job. I don't have enough money for an apartment to live in. And he says, really? So he goes, son, don't worry. Go and perform your nikah. I will pay for all the expenses. And then I will give you one of my apartments to live in. And then he goes to another brother. He says, tell me, how do you know my dad? And he says, you know, once I met your father and we started talking and it was near Hajj time. And then he says to me that, son, you know, you look like a decent person. Why don't you come to Hajj with me? Why don't you come to Hajj with me? You know, I'm quite old. I need somebody to carry my bag, somebody to help me out. And he goes, I will pay for your Hajj. Just come, help me along. So this young man, he goes with Hajj with this old man. And he is teaching him all the rites of the Hajj and all the etiquettes of the Hajj and how to perform it and all the rituals. And he's got a free Hajj. This man provided it for him. And then when this young man is telling the son, he says to him, I am the doctor that works in the morgue where the dead bodies come. And when I pulled out the drawer and I seen your father's body there, I began to cry. And I said, you know, the least that I can do is, you know, autopsies at that time, you had to do them. It was a must. So I'm not going to do the autopsy. I'm going to release the body quickly so the rights of your father can get fulfilled quickly. And I am the doctor that released the body. My beloved brothers, you know, when we give for good sake, for a good cause, we don't know how far our sadaqah will go. We don't know how far it will go, which lives it will touch, who it will benefit. You know, when we wake up, there are two angels. The one angel comes and he says, Allahumma a'ti munfiqan khalafa. That, oh Allah, give to the one who gives. And then the other angel says, Allahumma a'ti mumsikan talafa. Oh Allah, withhold from the one who withholds. My beloved brothers, we should be the ones that whose hearts are opened and donating for these good causes, not the one who withholds. My beloved brothers, this is the month of Ramadan. It is an extremely blessed month. Take the example of the last 10 nights. It is better than 1,000 months, yes? If we find Laylatul Qadr, it is better. خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ. That's 83 years and 4 months roughly. My beloved brothers, in those nights, if you donate a pound and you multiply it by 1,000 months, because it's like you've donated a pound for 83 years, for 1,000 months, that's over 30,000 pounds. You donated a pound for the sake of Allah, but in your bank account, the reward that was written was multiplied and it's nearly 30,000 pounds. You tell me, if I tell you, give me a pound and I will multiply it and I will give you 30,000 pounds in return, which fool would turn that down? Sorry for my language. Which person would turn it down? Nobody. Nobody would turn that opportunity down. This is the month where we should encourage ourselves to donate for good causes regularly and instill it in the children. Instill it in the children. Have musabaqah bil khair, competition to do good. Donate for these good causes. Donate. Be charitable. Every time you come into the masjid, I'm going to give £5, £10. And you know how easy it is for us nowadays? Automation. There is a thing called automation where you can set up with an organization. You can set an amount up that is going to go from your account automatically into the account of that organization. You don't even feel it. You don't even feel the pain of giving it each time. Every month is going to take £50 from you. You don't. When you look at your bank balance, it doesn't even look like it's been decreased. You don't feel the pain of it. But your bank account in the Akhirah is benefiting. It is growing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my beloved brothers, first of all, give me the ability to be charitable in this beloved month and give us all the ability to become charitable people. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. My beloved brothers, just a quick request to all, please move forward and fill the gaps. Jazakallah.
الله أكبر الله أكبر Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. حي على الصلاة. حي على الصلاة. حي على الفلاح. حي على الفلاح. الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله.
رحمتك يا رب.